Welcome to Peers Like Me, a podcast hosted by Western New York Independent Living. Peers Like Me is an ongoing podcast created by individuals who have personally experienced significant mental health challenges. For many, finding understanding and hope for recovery can be difficult. The Peers Like Me podcast aims to break down these barriers by educating listeners on various ways to seek help, gain understanding, and find hope. Through interviews with our guests, we explore their recovery journeys, community leadership, and successful lives despite their own mental health issues. The Peers Like Me podcast also aims to foster increased understanding within our community, encouraging neighbors and coworkers to truly include everyone and support each other's recovery, leading to more fulfilling lives. With his second episode on a mental health disorder, our guest is Dale Walsh from Hackensack, New Jersey, who has lived the past 43 years with schizophrenia. Dale shares with us hope and recovery through discussing some of his memorable positive life accomplishments despite living with this serious mental illness. He is a magna cum laude from Fairleigh Dickinson University and is the author of over 5,000 poems and 6 novels, 5 of which are in collections available on Amazon Prime. He was a private college tutor and a financial educator employed by Transamerica Insurance. Our host is Maura Kelly, the voice of the individuals WNYIL serves.
Hi, my name is Maura Kelly. Welcome to Peers Like Me podcast. Today we have Dale Walsh, part 2 from Hackensack, New Jersey, talking about his recovery from a serious mental health diagnosis years ago. Dale, welcome to the podcast again.
Well, it's great to be back. It's always a pleasure to have another chance to correct things.
Yes, yes. So, Happy New Year in the year January 2025. In the first part of our podcast, you talked about, you know, all the accomplishments and understanding mental health issues. Can you share with this audience how you became aware or first identified with such an illness, a debilitating illness?
Well, sure. It was basically taken out of my hands. I was confronted with it. And so what happened was I was at Dartmouth College. I had a very successful academic freshman year. I had like a B+, A- average in upper level courses, but I was also doing a lot of drugs, especially marijuana every day and hallucinogenics. And so basically I came up with what I thought was a great joke in the summer of 1975, which was, "Hi, I'm God."
Right.
I thought it was like the funniest thing I'd ever come up with, because how could God be 5'8"?
So right.
I was walking around campus telling everybody my joke, and one thing led to another, and so I was in my best friend's room, and the campus cops came in and said, "Are you Dale?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Would you come with us?" And I said, "Sure." I was actually lighting a bowl of hash when they came in.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the hash in my pocket, and I said, "Sure." I figured they were going to take me to meet the president of the university, because I was such an important person. And
right.
They took me on a two-minute drive to the infirmary, where I was interrogated for the next 4 hours by 3 sets of Ivy League psychiatrists, put me in a room, shot me full of drugs, and 3 days later I was in a mental hospital, Payne Whitney Clinic, which is the mental wing of a New York hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, my parents admitted me, and there I was, out, you know, not really knowing what the heck was going on, but I knew I was in a mental hospital, because diagnosis of schizophrenia should take 6 months.
Right.
I didn't know immediately I was a schizophrenic, but I knew I was in like a big and a lot of trouble. So how
long were you there, Dale? How long did they have you as a patient?
I was in the hospital for 13 weeks in
Wow.
New York, And then I came to a private psychiatric program in New Jersey, which is how I came to be in Hackensack.
Okay.
For the next 5 years, where I was, had like intensive therapy. I saw the it was like a program run by one doctor, and I saw the doctor 3 times a week and privately, and then group therapy 2x a week for an hour and a half. And so basically, I was sort of like force-fed into therapy, and, you know, thank God, you know, I think that's like one of the reasons I turned out as well as I did, but it was a tough cookie to eat.
Because, first of all, you were in a private facility, and then for some reason they kept on, I guess, giving you support until you could support yourself, or you could
When I was in the program, I was hospitalized 9 times, and it took me so long to get out of the program. But basically, when I did get out of the program, I got my own apartment, which is where I still am after 42 years.
But Dale, how long were you in the program for? You said when you got out. How long were we? How long?
5 and a half years.
5 and a half years. Okay. All right.
So, you know, I just feel very fortunate that my parents had, like, the resources in the first place to be able to, like, get me the help and the therapy that I needed. But so basically I made the transition to my own apartment, went back to college at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and 5 years later graduated magna cum laude in English.
Right. Okay. So I'm just, now that we're talking, if you were told that your best friend or a child of yours, an adult child, was diagnosed with schizophrenia today, how would you handle that? What direction would you point that person into now, today, this day and age?
It's interesting, you should ask this, Maura, because I'm dealing with this situation right now, because a friend who became a very good friend very quickly, on who I met through Instagram about a month and a half ago, was just diagnosed as schizophrenic and bipolar. And so I'm helping to guide her through her journey. She seems very lucid, she seems very clear, but you know, what I'm doing is just like saying, letting her speak and tell me how she's talking and seeing, you know, from my own experience, what symptoms she's manifesting. And, you know, that's what I would do if I had a loved one now who, just because I have the experience with the illness that very few other people do.
Is that what happened with you, Dale? Did they let you just speak and share your experience that you were going through? Like you were heard and listened to?
Well, my mother had a history of a mental illness herself. She'd been seeing a shrink for like 40 years, and actually the shrink is who found the program for me. But yes, basically yes, because I, you know, not only in the hospital, but also in the program, I was exposed to a very good doctor. Even though, you know, I had major differences with him.
Right.
But he went in my best, had my best interests in mind. And, so, you know, basically I just like had like 5 and a half years of intensive, talk therapy. And of course, the medication was also a major part of my recovery too, because, you know, even though I would fight the medication, you know, one of the reasons I went to the hospital so often when I was in the program is I would stop my medication, and within 2 days, 2 weeks, I'd be back in the hospital. And so, you know, even though I might have been stubborn about medication, you know, it became obvious to me that medication was like a basic foundation to my recovery.
And so, Dale, because since you've been taking medication, you've had quite a number of accomplishments because of this, right? Because of you taking care of yourself and addressing your issues, you've become quite accomplished in our community, haven't you? So I would guess.
Well, I like to think so, more, and you know, I haven't. One thing, you know, that one thing that bedevils new people dealing with with major mental illness is, you know, I don't like serious mental illness. I don't like the label.
So right, right.
I came up with my own name for mental illness, which is psychic affect. And I call serious mental illness intense psychic affect. But basically, I just feel that, you know, that Agnes Ignosia, which I think we went into.
Right, yes,
time,
yes.
The denial, or it's not the denial, it's the inability to comprehend there's something wrong.
Right.
So it's like manifested in 60% of intense psychic affect. And that's a big obstacle because, you know, I basically had Agnes Ignosia for 10 years till I had an experience that basically ended it. But
right.
And it blew me out of my delusion. But ultimately, the Agnes Ignosia stands in the way, because if someone can't comprehend that there's something wrong with them, then why should they get therapy, or why should
right.
they get medication? And I was in a situation where I was basically forced to get both.
Okay, so then why should people even listen to this or do this, Dale? Like, what can you share with everyone and myself to keep us going, to get that spark, to do things?
I'm not sure what do you mean? Why should people do what?
Why are you in life? What are you doing? Why are you on this? You're contributing. Do people know that people with 5.5 years of intense treatment are so accomplished in your life? It's like what do you?
Well,
can you share with people?
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, when I think the most important thing to recovery is self-awareness.
Right.
And being able to see what you need to do to get better.
Because you've been self-aware, Dale, what have you been able to do?
Well, besides the therapy, which, you know, but what I've been able to do is just be aware of my symptomology, be aware of, like, when I'm going off. In fact, as I said, I was hospitalized 9 times in the program, but I've been hospitalized a total of 15 times. And the last 6 times I was in the hospital, I admitted myself because I knew I was psychotic.
Right.
And it's all a journey. It's all, like, you know, but ultimately, you know, There's certain steps you have to overcome to enable your road to recovery. And I think the most important first one is to get over Agnes Ignosia. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So you want to share anything you're doing today, like in your life?
Well, you know, you asked me, you know, what my accomplishments are.
Right.
You know, I've had a lot of accomplishments. I think, actually, my greatest accomplishment is just having survived for 50 years with an intense psychic affect.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, so many people, whether it's because of natural causes or because of suicide or whatever, you know, they don't get to the point where I am. I mean, I'll be 70 in May, and mm-hmm. 50 years I've been dealing with schizophrenia, and so, you know, I just, but every day I work on being aware of myself and ultimately helping, you know, I think I mentioned this, but I actually am starting a business to mentor the family caregivers of those with serious mental illness, because one thing I realized about 7 years ago is that I call family members of those with serious mental illness the forgotten victims of mental illness.
Right, right.
I feel that you know, if someone is diagnosed, then they're going to basically get, you know, at least have access to help. But because of HIPAA and all sorts of laws and
right.
diagnoses and stigmas and everything, family members are often just as lost, if not more so, by their loved one's illness than the people themselves. So, you know, I started my business to, like, really help guide people through the challenges that they face. And I think the greatest challenge that a lot of these people face is, you know, codependence and basically maintaining their own integrity of self in the face of the challenges and the caregiving that they're giving their loved one.
So how do you help them, Dale? What do you do to help them? What do you say or provide or?
Basically, I bring my experience with the illness and with the mental health system to the forefront, and you know, I'm very empathetic, and I'm a good listener. I think that's basically what a lot of these people just need, is to be able to vent and to be able to tell their frustrations, tell their fears, and you know, of course, I help them like understand the illness, you know, how the symptomology goes and what, you know, what they can expect and what's going to, you know, what they can see and how to better communicate with their loved ones. But as I say, my real focus is to help them reassert their own identity so that they're more healthy and thus able to better help their loved ones.
Right. So there's a lot of powerlessness, you know.
So absolutely.
Yeah. So.
But as for my own accomplishments, as I say, I think my biggest accomplishment is just living with schizophrenia for 50 years. But I have had major, you know, achievements, including graduating magna cum laude from a major university in
right.
English. I'm a prolific poet. I've written 6 novels before I graduated from college, and since I graduated from college, I've written 5,000 poems.
Dale, you did something with financing, right? With financing?
Well, that's the thing. I financed myself for a long time as a private college tutor. I was on disability since 1986, and basically when I turned 65, it became normal Social Security.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, that's something I help people do, is navigate the system so that they can get benefits for their loved ones and for themselves.
All right, so like benefits advisement, you know, work at, you know, the government, you know, benefits and, you know, regulations and all that stuff.
So, right.
Okay. But, Dale, if it...
Another thing I've done is I basically have been an entrepreneur. My parents have helped me very much, and when they died, they left me, you know, a nice trust fund that basically takes care of my apartment. But, you know, My motivation is to be self-sufficient and to be self-sustaining. And, you know, I went through a long period where I was basically just sitting on my butt and, you know,
right.
Just living life but surviving, not thriving. And
right.
Now, you know, the healthier I get, the more recovered I get, the more is my motivation to overcome my illness and basically step out into the world and become a voice for those with schizophrenia who can't express themselves to the world.
So what do you want to Dale? What can you express with that diagnosis? What voice do you want people to know? What do you want our community to know about someone with a serious mental illness such as schizophrenia? What would you want everyone to know about you and this debilitating mental illness?
The motto of my company is recovery is always an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody has the potential to recover from intense psychic affect. But the point is that the pivotal word in that is option. Recovery is always an option. Because ultimately, if a person's not willing to work at getting better, then they aren't going to get better. And, and this gets back to Agnes and Noji, because if you don't think there's anything wrong, then there's nothing to work on. So
somewhere in my, you have to decide, all right, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to choose to do this. I'm going to choose to go this path. Yeah.
But not only is it a choice, but it's also a matter of action. And, no recovery is linear. It's not a straight up a line. So you have to be ready for frustration. You have to be ready for setbacks. But also you have to get down. You have to get up every time you get knocked down and just say, basically sometimes my anger or my frustration was the only thing that drove me forward and said, damn, I'm not going to give in.
Right.
My mind is trying to make me give in and give up, and ultimately, that's the path to destruction. And rather than going down that path, you just have to sort of like look at your inner self and say, appeal to your healthy side, and don't let the sick side win.
Right. So, in saying that, Del, what about the family members and loved ones of people with schizophrenia that's like, oh, I still have to deal with this, it's never over? Like the frustration that the loved ones have in dealing with the person with a serious mental illness.
I say there are basically four foundations upon which you have to like deal with this. Is faith, hope, love, and patience.
Right.
And I think not only is it never going to be over for the patient, but it's never going to be over for the loved ones of that patient.
Right.
So, one thing I say is learn how to react, to respond rather than to react.
Right. That's a good,
People can say a lot of triggering things to you, and you have to just, like, say, it's not... my loved one is the illness.
Right.
And another thing is, and I think this is crucial, is that you have to learn how to relate to and even love the person your loved one has become, because mental illness changes you.
I know.
And yeah. And the person that you always knew and always loved, in a lot of ways, sometimes they just like disappear.
Right.
Therefore, you have to learn to integrate the new personality and the new person that they are. And that can be very hard, especially if they're psychotic or if they're,
right,
or violent or self-medicating or whatever. And, that's why I say the patience and faith,
right,
is probably the two most important, well, obviously, love and hope.
Right. So it's sort of like comparable if someone is in a tragic sudden accident and they're paralyzed or they lose their memory, or the loved ones around that person have to get to know the new person, the person after the episodes, after the trauma, that, so.
Well, the only difference there more is, with mental illness, with psychic affect, the identity is shifted.
Right.
So if someone's like paralyzed in a car, obviously that's tragic, and you have to get to know them again. But the essence of identity is changed with psychic affect, and therefore, it's not as if you just have to get used to like seeing your loved one in a wheelchair, which obviously can be very tough, but
right,
actually you have to totally transform your thinking about your right. loved one in order to be able to accept the new person they've become.
Right. Well, we're just about out of time, Del. Thank you so much. If people wanted to reach out and had any questions or wanted to contact you, how best could they do that?
I have a website. It's www.dewlive.net.
Okay.
Actually, live love is my method for like helping people. It's okay. my therapeutic method that I take people through. But okay. It's www.dewlive.net and I'm also on Instagram at dale.walsh.14.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Del, and we'll end it right here. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me again, Morris. I hope it's been edifying and enlightening for some of your audience and for yourself as well. But thanks very much for having me, and love talking with you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Peers Like Me, a podcast that explores issues related to behavioral health. Sponsored by Western New York Independent Living, Inc., with the assistance of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Today, our guest has been Dale Walsh from Hackensack, New Jersey. Our host has been Maura Kelly.